والمرسلين سيدنا ونبينا وشفيعنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين. رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي. سبحانك لا علم لنا إلا ما علمتنا إنك أنت العليم الحكيم. Respected elders, dear brothers and sisters, my young friends, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi ta'ala wa barakatuh. If I may please ask the brothers to move forward and fill in the gaps as much as possible. And there's also space on this side as well, so please feel free to fill it up. You'll probably have a larger crowd today, so let's try to maximize the space, inshallah. My brothers and sisters, we find ourselves at the cusp of one of the greatest gatherings for the worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and that is the Hajj. And when we think of the Hajj, my brothers and sisters, there's many things that you may think of, but one of the things that I am reminded of is how the oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala brings together Muslims from around the world. And when you are there and you see the villagers from far away places on different continents, from Africa, from Asia, from Malaysia, from Canada, from Southern America, and all other points in the world, coming together, all looking alike for the worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone. And especially when the ihram is donned, and there are only, for the men, only two pieces of cloth, and practically everyone is wearing white, and you are not able to see or feel any differentiation with regards to socioeconomic status. There is no name brand ihram, not that I'm aware of. They all pretty much look the same, maybe a little bit, you know, some features here and there. But other than that, it's all alike, right? So visible differences go away and everyone becomes one, and it is totally reminiscent of the Day of Judgment. On the morning of the Day of Arafah, when people are leaving from Mina and they are heading towards the plains of Arafat, and everyone is rushing and everyone is worried about ibadah and worried about being there in Arafat on that day during the prescribed time, otherwise their Hajj is not going to count. So there is this feeling of urgency, of importance, that reminds one of the Day of Judgment. My brothers and sisters, we know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made this journey of a lifetime, this spiritual journey of a lifetime, an obligation. وَلِلَّهِ عَلَى النَّاسِ حِجُّ الْبَيْتِ مَنِ اسْتَطَاعَ إِلَيْهِ سَبِيلًا. The pilgrimage to the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is described as a duty by Allah azza wa jal for those who have the means. For those who are able to go and have the means, it is a duty, it is an obligation. And we know that when there is an obligation, ideally it should be discharged right away, it should be completed as soon as possible when its prescribed time comes. The salah, prayer, is obligatory at specified timings, as is the fasting in Ramadan. So similarly, the time for Hajj is when it becomes obligatory, is the year when you have the health and the wealth to pay for the trip. When you have the health and you have the wealth and you are able to make the trip, that is when this obligation becomes obligatory upon you. Now, there is no question that it can be trying and it can be difficult at times. Although it is so much more easier today than it was in the past. When you hear even stories from, you know, our relatives, from our grandparents, great-grandparents, those who may have performed Hajj maybe, you know, 50, 75 years ago, if you go back a little bit more, 100 years ago, it was a completely different landscape. It was a completely different journey in terms of the risks, in terms of the effort, in terms of the hardship that was involved. So yes, for us, it is still seemingly difficult, but it is nothing like the difficulties that the people in the past experienced. And we must remember, though, that the more challenging and the more difficult or trying an act is, the more rewarding it is as well. The more effort, the more tiredness, the more stress, the more difficulty that you bear in doing something good, then inshallah, the ajr of that will be just as great as well. Now, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows of the need that and the things that you have to arrange before going for Hajj in terms of arrangements for children, for family, taking time off, the cost of the trip, and other hardship as well. So in the past, you know, year, couple of years, there have been an added layer of anxieties or complexities with regards to making arrangements and doing bookings and how to do them and who to do them with. And subhanAllah, even other challenges where people have made the niyyah, they've made the arrangements, they've booked the time off, they've even paid, but still they are not able to go, right? Because of various circumstances, maybe the, you know, the agent did not deliver. In one case, we're dealing with someone has disappeared with the payments that people made, and has not been able to deliver, at least until now, the arrangements that were promised for going for Hajj. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make it easy for all of those who find themselves in these challenging circumstances. Ameen. So when we go through hardship, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is aware of all the hardships that are associated with an act, so you think that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not, you know, appropriately, or rather will not appreciate the sacrifice, and will not, you know, reward it accordingly if it's done sincerely. Of course, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is watching everything, and Allah azza wa jal does not leave any good deed without its reward and without its appreciation. There are a number of course, we know the Hajj is an obligation, but there's a number of rewards or virtues that have been associated with this special pilgrimage. And the first and foremost is the spiritual purification. Whoever performs Hajj to this house, to the Kaaba, the Prophet ﷺ said, "Man hajja lillah, falam yarfuth, walam yafsuq, raja'aka yawmi waladatu ummu." That whoever performs Hajj for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and does not commit any obscenity, does not commit any wrongdoing, that person will come out as the day he or she was born, meaning pure and free from sins, insha'Allah. And secondly, we have emancipation from the hellfire and entry into Jannah, insha'Allah. As the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, مَا مِن يَوْمٍ أَكْثَرَ مِنْ أَن يُعْتِقَ اللَّهُ فِيهِ عَبْدًا مِنَ النَّارِ مِن يَوْمِ عَرَفَةٍ. That there is no day on which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sets free more servants from the hellfire than He does on the day of Arafah. Meaning the people, you know, who have either been written or who are on the path of ending up there, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's special mercy, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's special forgiveness on that day will set more people free on that day from that destiny than any other day. So this is a great virtue of the day of Arafah, which, by the way, is not lost for those who are not performing the Hajj. So the virtues of Hajj, of course, are associated mostly with those who are actually performing the act of worship and who are actually present during the time frame of Hajj. But for the day of Arafah, the scholars say that this virtue is one which is general, insha'Allah, and everyone can take advantage of this virtue of being saved from the hellfire on that day. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us from amongst those who are saved. Ameen. Allah subhanahu, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam also talking about the reward being Jannah. Al-Hajj al-Mabroor laysa lahu jaza'un illa al-Jannah. The reward of Hajj Mabroor, one which is accepted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is nothing but Jannah, insha'Allah. Thirdly, we have the acceptance of supplication and prayers. Because you see, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has described the people who are performing Hajj as the guests of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, فَدَعَاهُمْ فَأَجَابُوهُ وَسَأَلُوهُ فَأَعْطَاهُمْ. That he called them and they responded, they ask of him and he will give them, insha'Allah. So there is a special added virtue associated with the acceptance of dua, of prayers and supplications that are made during the course of Hajj. Fourthly, my brothers and sisters, protection from poverty and sin. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, تابعوا بين الحج والعمرة فإن المتابعة بينهما تنفي الفقر والذنوب كما ينفي الكير خبث الحديد. Keep on doing Hajj and Umrah. Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, keep on doing Hajj and Umrah, for they eliminate poverty and sin just as the bellows eliminate impurities from iron. So here we get encouragement, virtues of performing Hajj and Umrah Once again, if you have already performed it, there is virtue in going for Hajj and Umrah. And sometimes people will say that, you know, I performed one Hajj already, why do people keep going for Hajj? You know, maybe they can use that money and you know, benefit in other ways, benefit people who are needy. And it is true, right? It is true that there are virtues associated with helping those in need, and a person certainly can use that money for that purpose. However, if a person acts upon this hadith and this virtue and goes for Hajj again or goes for Umrah again with this intention, then there is certainly nothing wrong with doing that, because they are following the virtues that the Prophet ﷺ has given. So they're not mutually exclusive. Yes, you can support those who are in need. Yes, if someone feels they have done Hajj once and they don't want to go again and they want to give for other good causes, inshallah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will accept from them and will reward them. But if someone decides that they want to go again because of this virtue and because of this encouragement, then there is indeed nothing blameworthy for doing that. And it is certainly good to do that as well. Now, we know, my brothers and sisters, the obligation, we know some of the benefits, and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has encouraged us to hurry, so instead hasten to do Hajj, meaning the obligatory Hajj, for none of you knows what will happen to him. So the advice is, my brothers and sisters, if you have the health, and then you save up the wealth, and you go as soon as possible, inshallah. And if you have already done so alone, perhaps you went for Hajj, you went alone when you were single, you did not take your wife, you did not take your family, then try to do it again and take her with you as well, inshallah. Do not delay. This is something that, you know, if we decide to delay and put it off, then it keeps getting put off and off and off and off. So we need to have a Hajj first philosophy. That is, as soon as possible, after marriage, after graduation, after school, save up and go for your first Hajj trip, inshallah. You know, when you are young, it is going to be much easier to perform Hajj. When, in most cases, when you are, you know, you are young and, you know, you can bear more hardship, you can go for a lower, you know, more affordable package, you can do a bare bone basic Hajj, you know, so there is more flexibility when you are in that stage of life. Maybe you're not married yet and you don't have as many responsibilities. So try to make Hajj a priority and do it when you are able and you are willing and you have the strength to do so. The more you delay, the more challenging it is going to become. There will be one need or one excuse after another that will keep making it harder and harder. You will get married and you'll say, okay, I want to wait a little bit because I'm newly married. Then you will have a child and you'll say, okay, I have a young child right now, so I'm going to wait a little bit until the child grows older. By the time that child grows older, you're going to have another child, inshallah. Then you say, okay, now who's going to take care of them, so I cannot go right now. And then it's going to be work, and then it's going to be something else and else and else. And the next thing you know, you're going to be not in the same state, and perhaps Allah knows best what state you will be in and whether you'll be able to go or not, although this would have already become an obligation upon you. So do it sooner rather than later, inshallah. If you have already gone for Hajj, then thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and you can, if you can go again, go perhaps for someone who is deceased and who couldn't go, or those who are physically unable to go. Many people, you know, in the world, they dream to go, but they're not able to go. You know, maybe physically they're not able to. So inshallah, you can go ahead and perform a Hajj on their behalf. There are people, subhanallah, who save even now for the entire life. They save money their entire lives so that they can go and visit the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And you can feel their excitement and their passion when you see these people in old age, when finally they've been able to make it after a lifetime of effort and desire to go and perform Hajj and visit the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You know, so if you have the opportunity, then certainly value it. Do not take it for granted. Some people take huge risks and long journeys as well to go for Hajj. So if you've done it, be grateful and try to find opportunities maybe to do it for others, be grateful for that. And for those who haven't, you know, look for that opportunity and try to make it happen soon. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make it easy. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept Hajj from all of those who are there now. Now, with regards to the day of Arafah, this is the 9th of Dhul-Hijjah, the day before Eid al-Adha, which is going to be Tuesday, inshallah, day of Arafah, the 9th of Dhul-Hijjah on Tuesday, inshallah, Eid al-Adha the following day, the 10th of Dhul-Hijjah, which is going to be Wednesday, inshallah. It is the day of Arafah is the day when the religion of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was perfected and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's favor was completed. In the Sahihain, it was reported from Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu that a Jewish man said to him, O Amir al-Mu'mineen, Ya Amir al-Mu'mineen, there is an ayah in your book, in the Quran, which you recite. If it had come to us, meaning the Jewish people, we would have taken that day as a day of Eid, as a day of a celebration, a festival. So Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu said, which ayah is that? Which ayah are you referring to in the Quran? So he said, the verse is Al-Yawma Akmaltu Lakum Deenakum Wa Atmamtu Alaykum Ni'mati Wa Raditu Lakum Al-Islam Deena. In Surah Al-Ma'idah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, this day I have perfected your religion for you, completed my favor upon you, and have chosen for you Islam as your religion. So up until that point, the injunctions of Islam were complete, were still coming and were being revealed in phases. And then this verse was revealed, and this was the completion of the religion of Islam as it was sent to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said that my favor is completed upon you, and Allah has chosen Islam as your religion. So Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu said, we know on which day and in which place that was revealed to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. It was when he was standing in Arafah on a Friday. So this was a very special verse that has a special connection to particularly Arafah. And fasting on this day, as we discussed, is highly recommended. It is an expiation for 2 years. It was reported from Abu Qatada radiallahu anhu that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam was asked about the fasting of the day of Arafah, and he said that it expiates for the sins of the previous year and the coming year, inshallah. This is from the virtues of fasting on the day of Arafah. Inshallah, being forgiven for the coming year doesn't mean that it's a free pass, that now you have fasted on the day of Arafah, now you're good for the next year, you could do whatever you want because it has already been forgiven. We don't take anything for granted. But inshallah, we hope that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will grant us extra mercy and forgiveness in the coming year, as well as for the deeds of the past year due to fasting on this day, inshallah. It is mustahab, it is desirable and virtuous for those who are not on Hajj. And in the case of those who are performing Hajj, it is not sunnah for that person to fast on the day of Arafah, because the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam did not do so. And it was also narrated that he may have perhaps forbidden fasting on the day of Arafah in Arafah, meaning for the person who is performing Hajj. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. It is also the day of forgiveness of sins, freedom from the fire, as we discussed. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala takes pride in the people who are there performing Hajj on that day. It is a day of making dua. Amr ibn Shu'ayb radiallahu anhu reported the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said that khayru du'a'i du'a'u yawm Arafah, that the best dua is the dua of the day of Arafah. Now, whether you are there or you are not there, of course, if you are there, you obviously spend the day making dua. But if you are not there, even then, it is a day of making dua. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam went ahead and he said, وَخَيْرُ مَا قُلْتُ أَنَا وَالنَّبِيُّونَ مِنْ قَبْلِي, that the best of it is what was said by myself and the prophets before me. And he went on to say, لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له له الملك وله الحمد وهو على كل شيء قدير. The best supplication is that which is made on the day of Arafah, and the best of it is what was said by myself and the prophets before me, that there is no God but Allah alone, without any partners. Unto Him belong the dominion and all praise, and He has power over all things. So to recite this, to repeat this on the day of Arafah is certainly virtuous. La ilaha illallah wahdahu la sharika lah, lahul mulku wa lahul hamdu wa huwa ala kulli shay'in qadir. However, you can certainly make other du'as as well, and we should try as much as possible to spend the du'a a day in making du'a, inshaAllah. So brothers and sisters, let us value these days. This Friday is also special, of course, being from the 10 best days of the year. And then we have the day of Arafah, inshaAllah, coming up on Tuesday, as we mentioned. So try to fast if you're able to do so. If you're not, it's fine. It's not like it's, you know, obligatory or anything like that. But certainly virtuous. So try to do it if you can. Try to, you know, make dua as much as possible on that day. Inshallah, try to celebrate Eid al-Adha with a sacrifice. If you can do it yourself or do it here, it is better, meaning locally. If you're not able to do it locally, then send it elsewhere, delegate it to someone else. It is either required or an emphasized sunnah, certainly something which is highly virtuous and recommended at this time. So do not leave that. Do not think of it as something which is unnecessary or something that is just optional, but rather it is a very strong sunnah, if not a requirement. and something that was practiced by the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So value it. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us tawfiq to honor these blessed days. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for acceptance of our dua, acceptance of our sacrifice. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for emancipation from the hellfire. And we also ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant us all the opportunity to go for Hajj and to grant an accepted Hajj to all of those who are there now. And Allah make it easy for them. Ameen. Wa akhir da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. We'll take a quick break and we'll continue, inshallah.